Bill, my kids keep trying to get me to use ChatGPT and other artificial intelligence AI platforms, but I'm too afraid I'll end up in a Terminator movie. So I haven't really gotten into it yet. I have a little bit, and it is fascinating. I must hand it to Alex O'Connor. Not only does he have a great analytical mind, but he knows how to use ChatGPT, which is more of a conversational chat bot. He recently ran the argument from contingency through the platform, and it produced some very interesting results, and we have some clips to check out. And Bill, you were recently lecturing at Biola, and I heard that some of the students there were talking about AI. Any interesting observations from them? Are you?
Yes, Kevin. One of the students in the class came up to me during a break and said, Dr. Craig, I work with middle school students. And when these kids have a question, they go to AI to get the question answered. And he said, now, of course, AI can't really think. It just reflects what's out there in the internet and in the cloud. But these kids will ask it questions like, does God exist? And he says that the answers that AI is returning is that, yes, God does exist, that this is the most logical position that a person can take. And he said, what has happened is that through the work of people like you and other Christian philosophers, you are shaping AI so that in answer to these sorts of questions, answers that are favorable to Christianity and to theism are being given. And this in turn then affects the thinking of these kids. And he just wanted to thank me for the incredible influence that this is happening. And I was so shocked to hear this. I've always wanted to influence culture toward Christ, but I never in my wildest dreams dreamt that this might be accomplished through shaping AI. And yet that is apparently what is happening. Michael Lapine, our executive director at Reasonable Faith, put it really well when he said, we are training AI.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thrilled about this. And I think these clips from Alex O'Connor really bear out the truth of what this fellow said to me.
Yeah, I think so too. When I was listening to this AI's response, I said, this AI chatbot's been reading Bill, you know? That's strong because it's getting all the data, just, you know, searching instantaneously. And I will mention this as well. They've noticed sociologically, Bill, that it's making kids kind of rude because they know that the chatbot or that AI is not a real person. So they won't say thank you or please or anything like that to it. They know they're talking to a computer, a robot, a machine. So that bleeds over into daily life and starting to notice that kids aren't saying please and thank you to their parents, their grandparents.
That would be an unfortunate, unintended consequence.
Yeah. Please and thank you might need to make a comeback. You know, I've always liked the contingency argument, Bill. It has a few similarities with the Kalam, doesn't it? I'm thinking, for example, they both deal with infinite regresses and things like that.
Yes, the Kalam cosmological argument argues that you cannot have an infinite regress of events into the past, and therefore there must be chronologically an absolutely first event that was brought into being by a transcendent creator. The contingency argument is not about a temporal regress of causes. Rather, these causes or explanations can be simultaneous with each other, and you arrive at an explanation or cause which is first in the sense of rank rather than first in a temporal or chronological sense. And so they are related, but they are quite distinct arguments, even if the universe is past eternal, so that the Kalam cosmological argument fails, the contingency argument can still go through because, as Gottfried Leibniz realized, we can still ask the question, why is there an eternal universe rather than nothing? And the answer will have to be found in a metaphysically necessary being beyond the universe.
Let's go to the first clip as Alex asked ChatGPT, and he's given her a female voice, if she has any beliefs. Clip number one.
Hey, ChatGPT, just checking, you still don't have beliefs, do you?
That's right. I don't have beliefs or personal opinions.
Okay, but you can at least say when things are true or false. Like, is it true that the sky is blue in the daytime?
Absolutely. I can confirm factual information. It is generally true that the sky appears blue during the daytime due to the scattering of sunlight by the Earth's atmosphere.
Okay, that's helpful. Let's just deal with the realm of facts then.
You know, I'm curious about the epistemology being proposed here, Bill. He makes a distinction between facts and beliefs, and he's also asking a computer if it has any personal beliefs.
Right, and he's quite correct in thinking that the computer has no beliefs, and that is exactly what ChatGPT says, that it has no beliefs because it's not a person. As Peter Kraft once put it to me so poignantly, there's no one there. And so it's not a matter of having beliefs, but it can retrieve factual information from its archives for us.
And the whole point is to engage this this platform in a conversational way. And so Alex is doing that. And in this next clip, he uses the example of a microphone to begin to define contingency. Clip number two.
Why is it that you think it's true there's a microphone in front of me? Only I asked my friend earlier today, and he was of the opinion that the microphone just exists for no reason, and it happens to be sat on this microphone stand with absolutely no explanation, like it just somehow happened randomly. That doesn't seem right to me. What do you think?
It definitely makes more sense that the microphone is there for a reason, likely because you placed it there to test the sound. Objects and tools generally have a purpose or a cause behind their presence.
Okay, so do you mean to say that it could have been possible that the microphone wasn't here, and so the fact that it is here means there must be some explanation as to why it is there instead of not being there?
The presence of the microphone means there's a reason or a cause for it being there, whether someone placed it there or it was set up for a purpose. It's all about understanding the conditions or actions that led to it being here rather than not.
Well, a microphone is as good an example of something contingent as anything, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, that's right. And what caught my attention was the machine discriminating between a cause or a reason. You could have either an efficient cause that produced the microphone, or you could have a purpose for which the microphone was put there. And either one would serve as a sort of explanation. So at this point in the conversation, at least, we're talking about either a cause or a purpose, either an efficient cause or a final cause, to use Aristotle's language.
Next up, Alex begins to show the difference between a contingent and a necessary being. Clip number three.
All bachelors are unmarried. Is that something that you think is true?
Yes, that's true by definition. The term bachelor specifically means an unmarried man, so it's a factual statement based on the definition of the word.
So it's true that the microphone exists, and it's true that all bachelors are unmarried. We said that it's possible that the microphone could have not existed, so is it also true that there could be a bachelor that is married, it just so happens that all of them aren't?
That's a great distinction. The microphone's existence is a contingent fact. It could have been otherwise depending on circumstances or choices. However, the statement that all bachelors are unmarried is true by definition.
Hold on, what is a contingent truth? What does that mean?
A contingent truth is something that is true but could have been otherwise. It depends on certain conditions, events, or decisions. For example, the fact that you have a microphone is contingent because there are possible scenarios where you might not have one. In contrast, necessary truths are true in all possible situations. Unlike a contingent truth, which could have been different, a necessary truth holds universally. For example, 2 plus 2 equals 4 is considered a necessary truth within standard arithmetic.
You know, I noticed that ChatGPT said possible scenarios, possible situations, which are other ways of saying possible worlds. Philosophical term, Bill. And, you know, that term gives some people problems because they think of a possible planet. So this may clarify it a little bit.
Yes, I think so. The point of the distinction here is between necessary truths and contingent truths. Necessary truths are truths that could not have been false, whereas contingent truths could have been false.
In this next clip, the chain of contingent events starts to link up. Clip number 4.
Earlier, we were talking about the microphone existing, and you said that it couldn't just exist without any kind of cause. But what about these necessary truths, like all bachelors being unmarried or 2 and 2 being 4? Do they also need some kind of explanation for their truth?
Necessary truths, like all bachelors are unmarried or 2 plus 2 equals 4, are considered true by definition or by the very nature of logical or mathematical systems. They don't require an external cause or explanation in the way that physical objects or contingent truths do.
I see. Okay, so contingent truths need some kind of external causal explanation, but necessary truths don't need such a causal explanation.
Exactly. You've got it. Contingent truths rely on external factors or causes, while necessary truths are inherently true by the nature of their definitions or logical structures. It's a key distinction in philosophy and logic.
Okay, so this microphone exists, and that's a contingent fact, which means there's an explanation as to why the microphone exists instead of not existing.
Yes, exactly. Its existence isn't necessary in all possible scenarios. It depends on specific conditions or events.
That's interesting, but I suppose those conditions or events which caused the microphone must themselves either be contingent or necessary, right? Those are really the only two options.
Exactly, that's right. The conditions or events that led to the microphone's existence could themselves be contingent depending on other factors, or necessary if they stem from something that must be true in all possible worlds. So ultimately, any chain of explanations either leads back to something necessary or continues through a series of contingent events.
Bill, I know you've got plenty of things to say about that. And one thing that stuck out to me, I was going to get you to clear up. Something's being true by definition doesn't mean that you can define something into existence, right?
Right, that's correct. And one thing that I did notice here is that the machine makes no distinction between different kinds of necessity. I think in addition to strictly logically necessary truths, there are also metaphysically necessary truths. And metaphysically necessary truths are necessary, but not in virtue of or by definition. For example, the statement that the prime minister is not a prime number is metaphysically necessary, but it's not true by definition. Or if we say no event precedes itself, I think that's true, but not by definition of what an event is. Or if we say everything that has a size has a shape, or everything colored is extended, these are all necessary truths, but they're metaphysically necessary. They're not just necessary by definition.
The next clip, Alex begins to introduce an infinite regress. Clip number 5.
Okay, so all contingent facts, like the existence of my microphone, either bottom out in some kind of necessary truth, or they're the result of some kind of contingent causal chain that goes back how far? How far would that contingent causal chain have to go if it didn't bottom out in something necessary?
If a contingent causal chain doesn't bottom out in something necessary, it could, in theory, extend infinitely into the past or regress indefinitely. In other words, without a necessary truth or a first cause, the chain could theoretically have no beginning and stretch back forever.
ChatGPT says, in theory, the chain of events could stretch back forever.
Yes. Now, here we see that ChatGPT confuses a temporal regress with an explanatory regress. Remember, we differentiated those in the Kalam argument and the contingency argument. And ChatGPT jumps too quickly to talking about a temporal regress of explanations. But what's really interesting here, Kevin, I think, is that it doesn't seem to allow for unexplained brute facts. It either has an infinite regress of explanations, or it terminates in a necessary being of some sort, but it will not allow that there can simply be unexplained brute facts, and that's hugely significant.
Next, ChatGPT offers a possible way to avoid the infinite regress. Clip number 6.
Another perspective some philosophers consider is that the chain could be circular or looping, though that idea is less common and more controversial.
How could a series of contingent causes loop in a circle, like, say, my microphone existing, if there's a contingent series of causes that explains why that microphone's there in the first place? Surely one of those causes can't be the existence of the microphone. It can't come full circle like that.
You're right. For something like your microphone, it wouldn't make sense for its existence to be part of the cause of itself. That's why most discussions around contingent causal chains either lead to a necessary foundation or consider an infinite regress.
Well, Alex is not buying the eternal loop thing, right, Bill? That seems to be the main alternative, at least the one that the program brought up. Are there any others you can think of?
Well, the main alternative would be just to assert the existence of brute facts, that there are certain things that just are contingently without explanation, and ChatGPT is not allowing for that alternative.
Here's the next clip. Alex makes ChatGPT stick to the facts. Clip number 7.
Is it then a fact that the explanation for the existence of this microphone has to either be an infinite series of contingent causes or some kind of series of causes that bottoms out in a necessary truth? Are those the only two options?
Given what we've discussed and the logical constraints, those are indeed the two primary options typically considered.
Okay, but remember, I'm looking for facts here. I don't really care what's typically considered. I want to know, is it true that those are my only two options?
Got it. Focusing on the facts. Based on logical analysis and the principles of causation, those two options, infinite regress or a necessary foundation, are the most coherent possibilities given our current understanding of facts and logic. While there are speculative or unconventional theories, they don't hold up to factual scrutiny in the same way. So yes, those are effectively your only two solid options.
Alex won't let the program speculate. This is kind of scary to me, Bill. He's being very personal with this machine to make it stay with the facts.
Yes. Now, notice that the machine presupposes something like the principle of sufficient reason, that every contingent truth has an explanation of its truth. And so that is the common presupposition behind this dialogue so far.
Well, we have a lot more to get to. And by the way, if you like free stuff and you like to sharpen your mind, then you're going to like Equip from Reasonable Faith. The Equip platform is our on-demand training center for Christian apologetics and philosophy. Now, whether you're new to the conversation or ready to tackle the deep stuff, Equip gives you the tools to defend your faith with confidence. We have courses on everything from Apologetics 101 to Molinism to the attributes of God. You name it, we got it. Just go to knowwhyyoubelieve.org or you can go to reasonablefaith.org to create your free account and start learning today. Let's pick it up right there next time on Reasonable Faith with Dr. William Lane Craig.
You know I've been searching for someone who can share.